You know, we didn't have white coat ceremonies when I was in medical school. I think they started in subsequent years and have become more popular. And I think it's a great thing. It's kind of a nice ritual. It's a rite of passage. It's very exciting. It, you know, you can become proud of what you're doing, and you know, just re-energizes you and reminds you of what you're doing there. Because medical school can be very, very draining and taxing, and you know, you're just sitting there with your head down studying on a daily basis. And this is maybe a nice reminder of, oh, I'm becoming a doctor.
This is the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast, and I'm your host, Maya Acosta. If you're willing to go with me, together we can discover how simple lifestyle choices can help improve our quality of life and increase our longevity in a good way. Let's get started. And I have with me today Dr. Riss for another segment of
Doctor in the House.
You should see how Dr. Riss looks at me when he says that. Friends, we are so excited to come to you once again with another episode, and we have a special treat. In today's episode, we are going to recap our past weekend. Riss and I went to Arkansas because...
My daughter, Yasmin, was participating in her white coat ceremony.
Yes. So stick around. We're going to tell you what that means. What did we do in Arkansas? What is a white coat ceremony and more? Okay, friends, before we get started, we typically release our Monday episodes at 6 a.m. Because the platform gets distributed to various apps and people listen from all over the world. So I always aim to release the episode at 6 a.m. However, we were so exhausted Sunday from our trip to Arkansas that we just did not have time. And in case many of you don't know, Dr. Riss works more than full time during the week. He stays very busy saving lives. And so that's kept you from being as available.
Yeah. Well, when we travel a lot, you know, and take some time off, there's also, I still have my work to do. And so things become very busy, yeah. Especially when I work during the week and travel on the weekends, not much downtime.
That's right. And we might have told all of you that almost every weekend from like September, October, and then lots of traveling in November, December, but almost every weekend we will be traveling. And that means that Dr. Riss has to give up some of his Fridays and shift cases around. And that doesn't mean he doesn't have any work when he comes back. If anything, he has more work.
Yeah. My staff is actually groaning at me going, when are we going to put all these cases in? Which means they actually, you know, not, I wouldn't call it double bookings, but, you know, I get still put all of the cases in less time.
Yes.
So I have longer days.
Absolutely. So we appreciate when you can sit down with us and do a recording, and we might have to figure things out, for our Monday episodes, for the rest of the year, because we are going to be traveling a lot. I did have this idea that we can record an episode on the drive home in the van using my easier equipment. So is that a possibility? We could be on the road recording an episode.
That'll be a very interesting recording.
Well,
oh, there's the Buc-ee's. Okay. Are we stopping? Oh, okay. Missed it. Oh, sorry. We missed our turn.
Right. All right. So we want to tell you guys about our trip. We've been having fun going in our van, traveling these weekends that we have had time to do so. Riss's daughter, Yasmin Bukhari, got accepted into medical school. We learned about that, I think, in August or so. And then the white coat ceremony sort of just, you know, came up. And so we did plan, but we didn't plan like 6 months ago. We planned for this and knew that it was going to be pretty tight for us. And so I want to mention a couple of things before we describe what a white coat ceremony is. Now, this is, we are not being sponsored by Harvest Host, but I want to tell you about Harvest Host because we learned about it, I think, a year ago at another campsite. Other campers told us about it. And this is for anyone who has a rig or even a vehicle that wants to, that's traveling and wants to stay at a spot overnight without necessarily being at a campsite, for example. So do you want to tell them about Harvest Host?
Yeah, it's a very interesting program. I guess someone had the bright idea of kind of collecting places or people who volunteer to host recreational vehicles. And it can be something as small and short as ours, like, which is a, you know, a 20 footer, up to very traditional larger RVs or even fifth wheels where you're pulling a large camper. Mm-hmm. So there's various types of places that wish to host campers, and I think, or RVers really. And the idea is that hopefully that when you're staying at their place, you will patronize their institution, whatever it is. So there's a lot of breweries and wineries and some farms with shops and
museums
museums and stores and a hangar, which was a hangar museum. And one guy we stayed with at Big Bend was a tour guide. He gave Jeep tours. But he had a large amount of land, and he would host RVers in the hopes that they would take his Jeep tour, which we did. Mm-hmm. And that was a really fun event. So there's a variety of types of places, although those are kind of the things that you see. And they've accumulated thousands of hosts all over the country. So if you're going somewhere and you need some place to stay to park your RV, it's essentially free because they don't charge for parking your RV. Although hopefully you patronize them and you spend some money. So if you stay at a brewery, they might, it'd be nice to go in and buy a beer or have a glass of wine or order an appetizer or something like that.
So Harvest Host comes in handy if you're not in a hurry to get to your destination. So if you're driving across the country and you are in a hurry and your goal is to just stay at a truck stop or at a Walmart and you're not interested in sightseeing or having an experience, this may not work for you. For us, Harvest Host is a nice way of having sort of a getaway when we're staying overnight somewhere. So we're not staying among a bunch of other campers or RVers or anything like that. So when we were in Arkansas, we found a space that it was a brewery, mm-hmm. and they offered their parking lot, but there were two other, maybe three other rigs, very separated from one another. And then people leave the venue. The place shuts down overnight, nice and quiet, no traffic, no one starting their engine in the middle of the night and waking us up. So that's it. And it's in the middle of nowhere in some of these places. Sometimes you do have to drive off the interstate and drive a couple of miles into that particular place, but it's quite an experience. I like the vineyard that we stayed at once, where the mm-hmm. family owned the vineyard and they had a restaurant and they sold wine. So it was really nice waking up with Poppy and walking him among the grapes. I mean, we didn't actually get in there, but that's quite an experience. And then you talked about the hangar. That was fun too. We kind of stayed almost like at an airport.
Yeah. And then one time we stayed at a museum, the Petroleum Museum in Midland. We, paid $5 or $6 and saw the museum and learned all about the petroleum industry and the Permian Basin and all that sort of stuff too. Yep. So yeah, it's been, there's a variety of places and all very interesting. And yeah, it can be as simple as you just finding a place to park and stop for the night. I've seen, and I know that some people get in at 10 o'clock and they pack up and leave at 5. All they wanted was a place to stop and sleep, which was safe and acceptable and not parking on the street or something. And then there's others who stay longer and enjoy what's there. And so for us, this spot was literally a mile and a half from the medical college. So it was very convenient for us. It's literally your boondocking.
Yes.
Which means you're not hooked up to electric and water. Mm-hmm. And most people who have RVs, they have their water pumps and they have the ability to manage, with electricity and batteries. And then also a lot of these places allow you to run your generators overnight because they're remote and you're not disturbing anybody.
That's right. We have a built-in generator, which it's fairly quiet. If you step outside of the van, you can hear it, but it doesn't really disturb anyone. And so that allows us to keep the air conditioning system going while we're sleeping. In case you're wondering, how in the world can we be in a camper van while we're still experiencing this heat in Dallas? But so that's how we got to Arkansas. We drove our camper van. We took Papi Chulo with us. And then we headed on over to the college. So we arrived on Friday. Friday night was a family picnic. So family and friends joined the medical students. And then the next day, early in the day, they had the white coat ceremony. I thought I would give you a little bit of history. I have some notes here. So in case you're interested in this college, because we found it interesting that Yasmin got accepted and decided to go into this osteopathic school. The Arkansas College of Osteopathic Medicine, also known as ARCOM, is a relatively new medical school in Fort Smith, Arkansas. It was established to address the shortage of healthcare professionals, particularly physicians in Arkansas and the surrounding region. So ARCOM was founded in 2014 and is affiliated with the Arkansas Colleges of Health Education. That they call it AHE. Is mm-hmm. that right? A-C-H-E, AHE.
Yeah. I'm not so sure I want that name, but yeah.
And it's a private nonprofit institution dedicated to improving healthcare access in the region. There are two schools, and there's so when we were there during the ceremony, we saw that there was the first class, and they are students studying to receive their doctorate degrees in physical therapy. And then there was the other group, Yasmin's group, which is the osteopathic medicine. They are class of
2027.
Oh, they are 2027. The other group is 2026. Mm-hmm. ARCOM specializes in osteopathic medicine, which is a branch of medicine that focuses on holistic approach to patient care. Osteopathic physicians, also known as DOs, are trained to consider the body as a whole and emphasize preventive care and the body's ability to heal itself. Isn't that really cool to know that Yasmin, after everything we know about lifestyle medicine, that Yasmin is in this college?
Yeah, I like it. It took me decades to come around to understanding the importance of lifestyle and prevention in health, as opposed to treating acute and chronic disease. So she's going to a medical school that teaches that approach from the very beginning, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the community focus, so ARCOM places a strong emphasis on community engagement and service. Students often participate in outreach programs and healthcare initiatives to benefit the local community. I ended up taking an Uber over from the van to the convention center for the ceremony. And during that ride, my Uber driver just kept chatting away and telling me all sorts of things about the medical school, and because I had mentioned the white coat ceremony. And he told me specifically about this, how the medical students are very involved in helping at, for example, the local hospital, Mercy Hospital, and how he was attended to and supported by some of those medical students.
Yeah. And it sounds like they're very proud. The community is very proud of having the medical school there.
Yeah. Absolutely. The campus where Yasmin lives is gorgeous. It's like a small little village.
Yeah, I was blown away. It's kind of a nice mix of kind of being in nature with the buildings and everything, and a very nice brand new place. The student housing and dormitories are mixed into a kind of a park with a little bit of a lake and a creek and walking paths, and the actual education buildings, were set off back into a nice open area with lots of trees and things like that.
I know. It was like the entire place is surrounded by forests, mm-hmm. by a forest. The campus, ARCOM, includes state-of-the-art facilities, including modern classrooms, laboratories, and teaching clinic where students can gain clinical experience. And Yasmin gave us a tour of the college. Amazing.
I was very impressed. The lecture rooms were just state-of-the-art as far as their audio-visual equipment. Every student had communication equipment at their desk so they could speak to the room, so you're not yelling in the room if you had to talk. And it was very, very up-to-date and modern, which I guess is a consequence of being a relatively new medical school. And all these things which I didn't have access to 30 plus years ago as a student. And then also they had great learning and visual aids and different things like that in their labs.
Also, I remember the study rooms throughout the area that are designed for students who need that quiet space to focus and concentrate. And yet we know that her class is only about 160 people, those first year students, right? About 160 students in that school.
Well, and
in the first year.
And in the second year. So the school, the didactic portion has about 320, 340 students. They had tremendous number of study areas and quiet areas and Mm-hmm. I think there's no shortage of places where you can find a place to study or let alone stay in your own room.
The village is just across the street from the university, from the school. And so the village itself has like 5 different restaurants. It has a gym, it has a nail salon, and a couple other things, a coffee shop. So you literally never have to leave that small space there.
Yeah, it's kind of designed like, you know, some of the urban apartments
like the
that you and I have seen here in Dallas, where, you know, the upper floors are all residences, but down below is a bunch of retail.
That's right.
And so they have all sorts of retail available to them.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful experience. And I try to video and photograph as much as I can. And I did share a little bit on social media. I'll continue to share a lot more because I usually come back so tired from these trips. So let's talk about the white coat ceremony, because this was the first time that I attended one of these events. White coat ceremonies are significant and symbolic events held at for first-year medical students at many medical schools worldwide. And these ceremonies are a tradition that marks the beginning of a student's journey into medicine. So what is the purpose? What's the symbolism behind all of this? So the ceremony marks the transition from preclinical coursework to clinical training, emphasizing the importance of patient care. In some instances, they do recite the Hippocratic Oath. In this case, I am going to read to you the osteopathic oath. The students are welcomed. Sometimes they may have a guest speaker. In this sense, I think it was one of the students. And then the students are presented with their white coat. And it's either done by someone from staff, like a staff member, or a loved one if the family member happens to be in medicine.
Yeah, that was, we didn't have white coat ceremonies when I was in medical school. I think they started in subsequent years and have become more popular. And I think it's a great thing. It's kind of a nice ritual. It's a rite of passage. It's very exciting. You can become proud of what you're doing and, you know, just re-energizes you and reminds you of what you're doing there. Cause medical school can be very, very draining and taxing. And, you know, you're just sitting there with your head down studying on a daily basis. And this is maybe a nice reminder of, oh, I'm becoming a doctor. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, sometimes you could probably forget. When Yasmin told me that because her father was a doctor, I get to actually go up on stage with her and put the white coat on her, I was very touched. So yeah, it's pretty cool that they let parent physicians place the white coat on their child.
I thought it was so beautiful. Yes. What would you say the ratio, if there were, I don't know how many students at the time that were white coated, because we had the combination of the osteopathic students and the physical therapy students. Would you say there were about 300?
Total with both of them, probably 225.
Okay. Yeah. And would you say 1 in 10 was coated by someone that is also a physician in their family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there was about 20 parents in that reserved area to do the coding.
It's so beautiful, you guys. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to the video that I put on Instagram of when Yasmin walks up to the microphone and says, I'm a student doctor and I'm being coded by my father, Dr. I think she said Rizwan H. Bukhari, MD or something like that. So I thought that was really cute. So like Riz said, you know, it's a rite of passage. It's instilling a sense of responsibility, professionalism. It's like they're being reminded of this role that they will have as healers. And I almost feel like this white coat ceremony should happen soon after they receive that letter of acceptance into medical school, because that's when you want to party and you want to celebrate. But this happened, 2 months into their first semester?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's a way for the community to celebrate these future doctors. Of course, I got emotional. Just thinking about how since I met Yasmin, she was young. I don't remember, 12, 13. I don't remember, but she has always wanted to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you, the convention center was full of very proud parents and family members. The place was packed. It's a great idea. People are very excited and happy to go there and celebrate their loved one's ascension into medical school.
Yes, yes. Okay, so they were classes of 2026 and 2027. And Yasmin is, you know, she'll complete medical school in 2027. I also wanted to read the osteopathic pledge of commitment. It says, as members of the osteopathic medical profession, in an effort to instill loyalty and strengthen the profession, we recall the tenets on which this profession is founded, the dynamic interaction of mind, body, and spirit, the body's ability to heal itself, the primary role of musculoskeletal system and preventive medicine as the key to maintain health. We recognize the work our predecessors have accomplished in building the profession, and we commit ourselves to continue that work. And then they recited, I pledge to provide compassionate quality care to my patients, partner with them to promote health, display integrity and professionalism throughout my career, advance the philosophy, practice, and science of osteopathic medicine, continue lifelong learning, support my profession with loyalty in action, word, and deed, and live each day as an example of what an osteopathic physician should be. You know, two things about Yasmin. She's always been a very strong and dedicated student, strong in science and math, from what I remember throughout the years, very dedicated student. And then she's always had a heart for volunteering. Mm-hmm. She's done overseas work.
Yeah, she's traveled to Central America a couple of times when she was both a high school student and a college student. And she participates in Habitat for Humanity, did a lot of volunteer work at like the Children's Hospital, a Scottish Rite Hospital for Children in Dallas. And then, you know, also does a lot of work with animals, especially cats.
Mm, that's right. Even in her during undergrad, yeah, she would rescue cats. And even recently, she adopted a cat.
She would rescue cats and she would foster cats, yeah.
And fostering them. And so she has a true heart for helping people. And so, you know, we just wish her a lot of luck in all of this. I did say to you, Riz, that I would love for her to come on the podcast in the future when she gets settled in. Mm-hmm. So in about a year or so, maybe less, when she's built some momentum, because right now it can feel chaotic, you know, learning to live alone in her own apartment. Figuring out food because, you know, she's staying very busy right now.
So, yeah, she's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, she's already, that's what medical school does.
Yeah, she's just, medical students early on are just fighting to keep their head above water.
Which is hardest, medical school or residency?
Oh, residency's harder.
Oh, man, I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
Oh, much harder.
Yeah. It's just going to be a lot of work and dedication for her as she goes through all the training that she'll need.
Yeah, residency's harder. Because it demands more time and energy, but it's more rewarding because you're actually practicing medicine.
That's right. Isn't there now some sort of regulation that ensures that residents are not putting in more hours than they should?
Yeah, there are laws that have limited the number of hours that residents can work per week and also a number of continuous hours that they can work. It's still not that balanced, but it's getting better.
Yeah. Well, we hope that Yasmin will manage things and make it through. She's a very bright student. I know that she's recently told you just in the first 2 months, she's doing well. she's competitive in the sense that she wants to be one of the top students.
Yeah, it's interesting. She'll say, yeah, I did above average on that test, but you could hear the disappointment because she wants to say that she had the highest score in the class.
Yeah.
I think she's doing great.
Yeah. All right, friends, that's really it about our experience. We had a wonderful time. Like we said, she lives in that village right next to the college. And then there, I did want to tell you, and I don't have my phone with me, but I filmed this little wellness park that's built right behind there near a creek. It has a labyrinth and it's really designed to, and it's dedicated to the people who have donated their bodies to science. For research. And so I spent some time with Poppy walking that area and immediately felt this amazing connection to nature, which I really love. So this weekend, Friday, we head to Houston for the 5th annual Peaceful Planet Foundation. It's a yearly retreat held by the foundation itself. The founders are Drs. Munish and Vandana Chawla. And they were recently on my Instagram Live, and it's a whole day. It's really about taking care of yourself, listening to lectures, practicing yoga, meditation, checking out food demos with healthy, whole food, plant-based meals. And so we're both headed there. And again, we will be in our camper van.
Yep. another exciting and busy weekend.
It's going to be busy, but I'm going to be the MC that day. You get to relax a little bit more and socialize. I'm going to be at the in the main stage, introducing, really opening up the retreat, and then introducing the speakers and closing the whole event. And so this is my first time ever doing anything like this, and I'm excited and I'm nervous and I'm honored as well. Okay, the following weekend, we've been telling you about the annular solar eclipse that's happening, that if you're in Texas, you'll have a little bit of an experience. We're headed to another camping experience, and we're going to try to be on the road to capture that. Riz has already ordered the glasses to protect our eyes as we're watching this eclipse.
Yeah, you can get your glasses. I got mine. I got ours on Amazon. They're pretty cheap, just a few dollars each. But they are dark.
But you know what? The last time we had this experience, they sold out.
Okay.
I've been watching reports. This one, October 14th, is a big deal. Even in New Mexico, when they have the air balloons that go up, this year they're only taking X amount of balloons. And if you're one of the lucky ones, you will be able to be in the air watching this eclipse.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I've been watching reports about how people are preparing. But also, yeah, the glasses sold out a few years. I want to say last year, actually. So we're lucky that we ordered them now. And they're definitely going to be sold out for next year, April 8th, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
All right, friends, I want to remind you that October 21st, we are not doing our regular walk, which is usually the third Saturday of every month. Instead, we will be with Chef Julia in Fort Worth. Chef Julia does a quarterly retreat, an all-day retreat where she supports individuals into going whole food, plant-based. Riz gives a lecture as part of that retreat. So instead, we moved our walk to Sunday, October 22nd at
1 p.m.
And then, oh my gosh, when towards the end of the month, we are going to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lifestyle medicine conference that's happening. That's another time that we're going to be very busy. This is when people that are trained or interested in the pillars of lifestyle medicine, and you from all walks of life, healthcare professionals, dietitians, people like myself, we all gather and we watch other lectures, and they're like meetup groups where we all gather and meet one another. So we are staying pretty busy, Dr. Riz. I look forward to the social events. All right. So that's pretty much it. We are going to try to figure out how we can continue to give you information when we're traveling. If Dr. Riz doesn't come on Monday, if we don't have a Doctor in the House episode, I'm going to put in a health tip that I'll provide on Mondays, and it might just be that way for the rest of the year. So I'm giving you heads up. We are getting very busy. It's hard to be as available, but every Wednesday I will have a guest. So those are scheduled for the rest of the year. So make sure you tune in every Wednesday. And since you're listening now, this is being released right now in a couple of hours. Dr. Clapper is going to join me. Dr. Michael Clapper is going to join me on Instagram Live tomorrow, Central Time, 4 p.m. So join me to ask him questions on my Instagram Live. That's Healthy Lifestyle Solutions. All right, friends. Thanks again for listening.
Bye-bye. Take care.
You've been listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast with your host, Maya Acosta. If you've enjoyed this content, please share with one friend who can benefit. You can also leave us a 5-star review at ratethispodcast.com/HLS. This helps us to spread our message. As always, thank you for being a listener.